I want to speak about the first Rashi in Chumash. Famous Rashi. And I've explained it in the past in a different way. In fact, it's in my Sefer on Chumash, Outlooks and Insights from Art Scroll, which you don't have to buy. I don't know if you can get it. I don't know if it's in print. But in any case, if you come across a copy of it, you can find what I'm telling you now in a very condensed way there. Not what I'm going to tell you now. And today I want to tell you a different, something that's not in that Sefer. Different idea that I thought of this week. Rashi starts quoting Rabbi Yitzchak. It's a Medrash Tanchuma. Om Rabbi Yitzchak. Lo hoya ha-Torah la-haschil ela me-achodesh hazeh lochem shehi mitzvah rishona shenitztavu ba-Yisrael. Torah should have started from achodesh hazeh lochem in Parshas Bo, which is the first mitzvah that Klal Yisrael were commanded. Umatam posach b'Bereishis. Why did it start with Bereishis? Rashi answers, or Yitzchak answers, Koach mais of higid li'amo, l'seis lohem nachlas goyim. That the Rabbanu Shem wanted us to know that he created the world, and he gave us Eretz Yisrael, and in case the goyim ever come and claim that we are robbers, thieves, that we conquered a land that belonged to seven nations, and it's not ours, then we have an answer. Bereishis bara Elokim, God created the world, he gave it to you temporarily, took it away from you and gave it to us. God can do what he wants with his world. And therefore, we're not thieves that we conquered a land that belonged to other people. The Rabbanu Shem told us to do it. He took it away from you. He gave it to us. Very nice. Few questions. If the Torah would be just a bunch of mitzvahs after the first mitzvah, from there on, it's a list of mitzvahs. I would understand. The proper place to start a Torah of mitzvahs is the first mitzvah. But even after that, there's a lot of stories in the Torah. All of Yisipur, Yitzias Mitzrayim, and the Midbar. So the Torah is a combination of mitzvahs and stories. So why is it more logical to start with the first mitzvah than to start with the first story? I don't know, it seems pretty logical to me to start with the first story, since the Torah is mitzvahs and stories. So why? What's the big question? Torah should have started with the first mitzvah. Why? Start with the first story. Torah has both of them. Second question. Okay, so for some reason we have to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, so we shouldn't think that we are thieves, and that Goyim, we have an answer for the Goyim. A few questions. First of all, why does it have to be in the beginning of the Torah? Could have been a footnote at the end of the Torah. The Torah could have started from HaKadosh Hazeh Lachem, and at the end of the Torah, Le'inei Kol Yisrael, there would be a little asterisk, and it would say, by the way, Bereishis Bara Elokim Es HaShemayim V'Sa'aretz, you should know, God gave you Eretz Yisrael. And we were given the Torah 40 years before we started conquering Eretz Yisrael. So we had plenty of time after the Torah was finished to learn that lesson. Doesn't answer why it has to be in the beginning. Matam Posak B'Bereishis. Why do you need the beginning? Thirdly, why do you need a whole Sefer Bereishis? Just tell me, Bereishis Bara Elokim, and up until Lech Lecha, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Avraham Avinu Eretz Yisrael, and you don't need anything more. Why all the stories of the Avos and the Mabul and all these things? Who needs it? If the whole purpose is to let us know we own Eretz Yisrael. Thirdly, do you think the Goyim will accept this? You think if the United Nations ambassador would get up tomorrow and say, I forgot to say something. You know, Bereishis Bara Elokim Es HaShemayim V'Sa'aretz, and we've been arguing over who Israel belongs to, but God created the world, it says in the Torah he gave it to us, and therefore there's no question. Do you think that the Arabs and the rest of the world would say, oh, why don't you say that long ago? Why you save us so much trouble? Right, we didn't know that. Oh, thank you for telling us. From now on, no more problems. Okay, Eretz Yisrael is yours. I doubt very much if they would accept it. They have their Quran and their New Testament, whatever it may be, and who care? What do they care what it says in the Torah? How's that going to help the Goyim? And beyond that, there was once in history when the Goyim did come to us. In the time of Alexander the Great, the Gemara says, they took us to the world court of Alexander the Great and wanted Eretz Yisrael back. And they said, we'll bring proof in the Torah. It says, Eretz Yisrael l'gvuloseha. Eretz Canaan l'gvuloseha. It's our land. So what was the answer you would think if the person who went to defend the Jewish people, his name was Gevia ben Psisa? What do you think he would say? This is it. The whole Sefer Bereishis has been waiting for this. He should have said, Bereishis Bara Elokim. You know what he said? You're right. Eretz Canaan belongs to you. but you belong to us, because Eved Avodim Yele Echov, Canaan is an Eved, and Mashikana Eved, Kana Rabba, whatever an Eved owns belongs to his master. So you belong to us, and Eretz Yisrael belongs to us, and not only that, you haven't served us for a long time, we'd like some back wages. So they ran away. Why didn't he say Bereshit? The whole purpose of Bereshit is, according to Rashi, to tell me that we own Eretz Yisrael. Why didn't he use that? Use something else. And lastly, which is a major question, and the answer that I gave in the Sefer is a very important one, but I'm not going to mention it now, so for that it's good I look into the Sefer, what the answer to this question is. I'm going to give you a different answer today. If HaKadosh Baruch was so concerned what the Goyim thought, that we look like a bunch of thieves, not just thieves, murderers, because we had to kill men, women, and children to conquer Eretz Yisrael, right? So, why did he give us Eretz Yisrael in such a suspicious way, that we had to go kill men, women, and children and take it from seven nations? Why didn't the Rebbeinu Shem give us Eretz Yisrael in a much more innocent way? And I could think of two ways. I'm sure God could have thought of many more ways. One way, before we came to Eretz Yisrael, God gave a plague throughout Eretz Yisrael, and every man, woman, and child died of the plague. Or he gave them all heart attacks at the same time. Whatever it may be. The Rebbeinu Shem can't make them all sick and die. They can't just decree that they die. We come to Eretz Yisrael with all these dead bodies, and we do the world a chesed, and we bury them. And we take over the land because nobody's here. Why did the Rebbeinu Shem make us conquer these people and kill them? Men, women, and children. Why don't you just take care of it for us? Or, have another way. The economic situation in Canaan could have been so bad at the time that all the Canaanim would have left and moved to New York and opened falafel stores. Right? That happens. Right? Israelis, plenty of Israelis in Brooklyn or whatever, who for whatever reason thought they would make better money there, and they left Eretz Yisrael. So God could have made the Canaanim do the same thing. Leave Eretz Yisrael, go to Chutz Laretz, and vacate the land. We'll come here, nobody's here, we'll take it over. Why did the Rebbeinu Shalom command us to conquer seven nations and murder them? And then, it looks pretty bad, so we need an answer. Okay, we'll tack Bereshit onto the Torah to answer the question. Don't give us a question. Yeah? Yeah, okay, same thing. The Rebbeinu Shalom could have had many ways. Why did he give it to them to begin with altogether? And lastly, what's the Goyim's taina? You conquered a land of seven nations. So what? Everybody conquers things. Conquering is accepted that if you conquer something, it's yours. How many nations conquered lands and that is considered legitimate? Okay, based on politics today, it's understandable. It's legitimate for everybody but Jews. But Lemaisa, what's the taina? You conquered our land. Okay, and you conquered other people's land. So what's the big deal? What's the taina? The answer, I think, is the following. First of all, what's the question? Why should the Torah have started from HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, Shehi Mitzvah Rishon LeShenitztavu BeYisrael? Not because it's the first mitzvah, because it's not the first mitzvah. There's a mitzvah of Bris Milah. There's Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach in Parshas Noach. There's Gid Hanasha mentioned in Vayishlach. So it's not the first mitzvah mentioned in the Torah. But it's the first mitzvah that was given to Klal Yisrael. And that is the main point. Torah is Torah's Yisrael. The Torah is the Torah of Klal Yisrael. And it is not Torah if it's not the Torah of Klal Yisrael. I said on Shmini Atzeres this year, we have two times in the year that we celebrate Torah. One is Shavuos, and one is Shmini Atzeres. What's the difference between them? The basic idea was the following. There are two stages to the giving and receiving of the Torah. There's Matan Torah is Shavuos. Zman Matan Torah Seinu. God chose us. He decided to give us His Torah. And we were pretty much passive. He put the mountain over us. We said Nasa v'nishma. And we pretty much surrendered ourselves to God's will. We didn't receive the Torah on Shavuos, but God gave it to us. That's called Matan Torah. Matan Torah Seinu. We didn't receive the Torah until Yom Kippur. Because we should have received it on Shivasar B'Tammuz, But Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchos. And he went then to daven that we shouldn't be destroyed, and then to daven that we should get the Torah again. And finally on Yom Kippur, the Rabbanu Shalom gave us the Torah, and that's when Moshe came down from the mountain, and we received the Torah, meaning we started to learn it and integrate it and make it part of us. And what did we learn? We learned about the Mishkan. That was the first mitzvah we had, to build the Mishkan. So for those days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, we learned, we gathered the materials, we started building the Mishkan, and finally, after learning for about almost 2 weeks after Yom Kippur, then we celebrated Kabbalah Satorah, the receiving of the Torah. Torah becomes part of us, and I think the two brachas that we make before we read the Torah and after we read the Torah represent these two stages. The bracha we make before we read the Torah is on Matan Torah. Asher nosan lanu, asher bochar banu mikol ha'amim, the nosan lanu es Torah so. The Rabbanu Shem chose us and he gave us his Torah. That's Matan Torah. That's giving of the Torah. That's before you learn it. Then we learn. We learn the Torah. We make a different bracha. Asher nosan lanu Torah emes. Not God's Torah anymore. It's Torah emes. It's a Torah that we learn, that we get emes from. The Chaye Olam Nota B'Socheinu, the Rabbanu Shel Olam implanted eternal life within us when the Torah becomes part of us, because the Torah is eternal life. So therefore, the second bracha is on Kabbalah Satorah. The first bracha is on Matan Torah. Shavuos we celebrate Matan Torah Seinu. But the real simcha is not Matan Torah Seinu, the real simcha is Kabbalah Torah Seinu. And with that I wanted to explain why the Torah ends with Shviras Haluchos. The biggest episode to end the Torah, the siyum of the Torah, is Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchos le'inei kol Yisrael. That was the greatest thing that Moshe Rabbeinu did. He broke the luchos. But I think what Moshe Rabbeinu's breaking the luchos represented is the following. If Moshe didn't break the luchos, then what God gave him would be continued. But the Jewish people would never receive those luchos because they weren't fit to receive them. So Moshe never could have given them the luchos, but at least Matan Torah would have been preserved. If, however, Moshe chose to break the luchos, then Matan Torah would have been broken, abrogated, negated, but Kabbalah Satorah would be made possible. Because now Klal Yisrael will be shocked, they do tshuva, and they would get the Torah again. Moshe Rabbeinu had to make a decision. What is the ikar? Matan Torah or Kabbalah Satorah? And by breaking the luchos, he made the decision that Kabbalah Satorah, the fact that the Torah becomes one with Klal Yisrael, is more important. Because without Klal Yisrael, there is no Torah. And therefore, if we hadn't been given the Torah, if God didn't force us to take the Torah to begin with, there would be no world. The world would have gone back to tohu vavohu. But Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, it's not just a one-time thing. If any second there's no Jew learning Torah, if there's no Kabbalah Satorah, every second, there's also no world. It's not just Matan Torah, it's Kabbalah Satorah. Because without Kabbalah Satorah, the Matan Torah is irrelevant. And that's why Yisrael is Yeshishim Ribui Osios LaTorah. Which means, the simple meaning is, and one day we'll discuss, I think we discussed it here once, before Rosh Hashanah. It supposedly means that there are 600,000 letters in the Torah, but there aren't. But I like to explain it to mean that in addition to the 300,000 letters in the Torah, you have to add another 600,000 letters to make the Torah complete. That's the Neshamas of Klal Yisrael. The Torah is not complete without it being connected to Klal Yisrael. If it becomes disconnected from Klal Yisrael, it's not a Torah anymore. And therefore it says, Bereshis, Bishvil HaTorah Shenikra Reshis, Ubishvil Yisrael. So if it's talking about two different things, it should have said Bereshios, plural. Not Bereshis, one. It should have said two things. The answer is they're not two things. The same Reshis that's Torah is the same Reshis that's Yisrael. Because Yisrael, V'oraisa, V'kutshabrichu Chadu. It's all one. And if you don't have Klal Yisrael, you don't have Torah. And if you don't have Torah, you don't have Klal Yisrael. So it's not two ratiouses, it's one ratious. That one ratious has two parts to it, Klal Yisrael and the Torah. and the same idea. Up until Matan Torah, up until the fact that we were Makabel the Torah, Shabbos kept the world going. Now it's not Shabbos that keeps the world going. It's Klal Yisrael keeping Shabbos. Because the mitzvahs are irrelevant if it's not Klal Yisrael doing it. We have the inyan of doing those mitzvahs. And that's why the Torah is called Ma'orosha. Ma'orosha. Al-Tikre Ma'orosha la-Mu'orosha. The Torah is like our bride. It's like a husband and wife. Ishto kigufa, baal kiishto. They're like one being. They blend into one being, a husband and wife. The Torah is like the wife of Klal Yisrael. It can't be separated. It's indivisible from Klal Yisrael. So therefore, if Torah is Torah Yisrael, it is the concept of Kabbalah Satorah, then why is it start with Bereishis? Bereishis is not Torah Yisrael. Bereishis is the Torah of Adam and Noach and the Avos who weren't Yisrael yet. Yisrael is when we got the first mitzvah as Klal Yisrael. HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem. Daber al B'nei, call Adas B'nei Yisrael. That's when we became B'nei Yisrael. So the first mitzvah that was given to Klal Yisrael is Torah. So Torah should have started there. Because Torah without Klal Yisrael is not Torah. It's a different thing. So why does the Torah start with Bereishis? That's the question. So what's the answer? The answer, I think, is the Torah does not start with Bereishis. If you listen to how Rashi presents the answer, it's pretty clear. Listen to the language. Lohoya ha-Torah lahaschil ela me'achodesh hazeh lochem. The Torah should have started from Achodesh Hazeh Lochem. Now what should have Rashi said? Umatam hischil mi Bereishis. Why did it start from Bereishis? That should have been what it said. It doesn't say that. Umatam posach bi Bereishis. Meaning, the Torah starts from Achodesh Hazeh Lochem. That is the beginning of the Torah, because that's where the Torah became one with Klal Yisrael. However, there's a psicha. You have a book. So page one is the beginning of the book. But there are a lot of pages before page one. That's the preface, the introduction. Those are the Roman numerals. Torah starts from Achodesh Hazeh Lochem. But the preface to the Torah is Bereishis. Now first of all, that preface is not for the sake of the Goyim. We said, are the Goyim going to accept it? No, it's not for them. What does the Pasuk say? Koach Maisov Higid Li'amo. Not that he told it to the Goyim. The Goyim aren't going to understand it or believe it or whatever, accept it. We don't care. We don't have to convince them. We have to convince ourselves that we are not thieves. And we didn't conquer a land that belongs to somebody else, even conquering, which is legitimate. But it wasn't ours. We took something from somebody else legitimately, but it wasn't ours. What's the big deal? What's the difference? The Ramban says that Eretz Yisrael is really the place for the Torah. The Torah was meant for Eretz Yisrael. And the Torah only applies to Eretz Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, the Torah, even the Ribono Shel Olam. His connection to the world is basically in Eretz Yisrael. Everything else is indirect. Yeah, we have to keep mitzvahs and chutz laretz too, but that's only because the Ribono Shel Olam said keep them, they shouldn't be new to you when you come back to Eretz Yisrael. But the Iker Shmiras HaMitzvahs is in Eretz Yisrael. It's Ramban, in a few places in the Torah. And if Eretz Yisrael is not something intrinsic to the Jewish people, then the Torah is not intrinsic to us. Because then this land really belonged to somebody else. We took it by conquering it, but the Torah was meant for here. How could the Torah then be part of Klal Yisrael? How could the Torah be intrinsically a chelek that it's no Torah without Klal Yisrael, there's no Klal Yisrael without Torah? How could that be? If the Torah is something that's only incidental to the Jewish people because it wasn't our land and the Torah is for this land. So unless we understood first that Eretz Yisrael is not something we conquered, but it's something the Ribono Shel Olam intended to give us from the very beginning. And we'll see in 1 second why there were the Goyim here first. And why was it called Eretz Canaan? But if we don't understand that, then we can never understand that the Torah is really part of us. And when we have that first mitzvah, HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem, will think the Torah is just something that was given to us, separate from us. But it's not part and parcel of what we are, and the Torah is not part and parcel of what Klal Yisrael is, and Klal Yisrael isn't part and parcel of the Torah, and then the whole concept of Torah is distorted. So before you can start the first mitzvah that was given to Klal Yisrael and understand from that, that that's what Torah is, Torah Yisrael. First you have to have a psicha, you have to have a preface that Eretz Yisrael is intrinsically ours. It's not even ours because we're tzaddikim and God gave it to us. It's because when God created the world, He created it for Torah and Yisrael, and the place is Eretz Yisrael, and all those things have to go together. Whether we're tzaddikim, that's Ratzon Hashem. Asher bochar banu, for no reason that we can understand. Not because we're such big tzaddikim, but because that was God's will. And therefore the Torah says, lo bitzit kosko, I'm not bringing you there to Eretz Yisrael because you're such big tzaddikim, because there is shoyim, meaning the following. All the nations of the world, according to this, are here to serve Klal Yisrael. They don't have any Torah of their own. Their Torah, the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, is only within the context of how it creates a foundation that we should be able to keep the Torah. Goyim are important, but they are tefillin to Klal Yisrael. There's no place for other nations in this world. All the other nations serve Klal Yisrael in some way. And they have their unique attributes that help make the world a good place. Or should. And that's why Lashid Lavo. The Goyim are going to say that everything we did that Klal Yisrael should learn Torah. We built bathhouses and we made shopping centers and everything we did that Klal Yisrael should learn Torah. Because then it'll be obvious that was the purpose. They didn't have that in mind. But that's really the way it was. Meaning that a goy can get Olam Haba if he keeps his seven. Thank you. This is just post Simchas Torah. A goy can get Olam Haba if he keeps his seven mitzvahs. But the Rambam says he has to keep them in the following context. Not that the Torah was given to him, but that he is part of Torah Yisrael. And if he keeps his seven mitzvahs and keeps the world moral, and he creates a physical infrastructure within which Klal Yisrael can keep the Torah, then they have a share in the Torah too. Not their own personal share. And that could be the reason why the Rabban Shem offered the Torah to the Goyim, not because they could have received it, but to show them that they have no connection even to their seven mitzvahs. Bitzad their mitzvahs, the mitzvahs don't apply to them. They said, we have problems. How can we accept the Torah that says, don't murder, we have a mitzvah to live by the sword. We have a mitzvah to pickpocket. The answer is, yeah, the Torah is not meant to be for your essence. You have to keep it, though, in order to make a world that is possible to keep the Torah in. That Yidden should be able to keep the Torah. So you have to run the electric company, and you have to build buildings, and you have to make tables and print books in order that Klal Yisrael should be able to learn Torah. But it's not that it's intrinsically yours. Hold on one second, let me just finish the idea. It's not that it's intrinsically yours, thank you. So, the Rabbanu Shel Olam wanted these goyim to prepare Eretz Yisrael for us. That's what they do. They prepare the physical infrastructure. And the Torah says that. You're coming to a land, a batim maleim called Tuva Shalomi Leisa. You don't have to build those houses. You don't have to acquire those riches. Everything was done for you. They planted, they plowed, they grew trees. And all of it was that you should be able to use it. Now, if the goyim weren't Rishoyim, then they could live together with us in Eretz Yisrael and support us being together with us. Like a ger tosha, a goy who keeps seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach, you're allowed to let him live in Eretz Yisrael. Not in Yerushalayim, but in Eretz Yisrael. And we're responsible to keep him alive, to support him, give him welfare, if he needs it. Because the goyim were created to aid us, to be partners with us, right, in bringing Torah to the world. But we're the ones with the Torah. They are the aids. But if the Goyim are Rishoyim, and being in Eretz Yisrael will have the opposite effect on us, then we have to destroy them. And we're responsible to destroy them, because Eretz Yisrael is our place. And we're responsible to clean it up and make sure that it's fit for the Torah. It's not that the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to do it for us. That's our responsibility. Because Eretz Yisrael is ours, Torah is ours. That's what the world is all about. That's the psicha to the Torah. If we didn't know that Bereshis Bara Elokim, and it's not just that God created the world, but every single thing that happened in the world, Adam and Noah, and then there was Yishmael and Yitzchak, and Esav and Yaakov, and Esav got his Yerusha, and everything was that Klal Yisrael should be able to get Eretz Yisrael. And all of the fact that there were Goyim here before, and it was Eretz Canaan, was to prepare the way for Klal Yisrael. That is what the whole Sefer Bereishis shows us. Everything was orchestrated in order that one day we should get the Torah and we should get Eretz Yisrael. And everything else that happened in Sefer Bereishis is clear that it happened only to help support that goal. That's Sefer Bereishis. Sefer Bereishis is the preface to the Torah, that when we get to that first mitzvah, and that's where Torah starts, Mitzvah Rishonish and Itztava by Yisrael, because Torah is Yisrael. But you need the preface of the Torah before Yisrael to understand that Eretz Yisrael is ours. Because if it's not, then Torah is also not ours. Torah is just something that we were given from the outside, and then we don't misunderstand the first mitzvah too. But to understand the first mitzvah properly, you need the preface of understanding that Eretz Yisrael, which is the place of Torah, belongs to Klal Yisrael. Because if we think differently, we think that we conquered it, even legitimately, but it wasn't really ours, then the Torah is not really ours. So therefore, in order that Mitzvah Rishonish and Itztava by Yisrael should be able to be the beginning of Torah Yisrael, you need a preface to let me know that Torah Yisrael is Torah Yisrael. Because if we think for a minute that Eretz Yisrael is not ours, then the whole building falls. Because Eretz Yisrael is the place of Torah. And if Eretz Yisrael is the place of Torah and it's not intrinsically ours, then the Torah is not intrinsically ours. Then we're supposed to be somewhere else. And that's not a place of Torah. That's basically the idea. Yes?
So when you came into Ashkenaz, why did they have to kill every single man, woman, and child?
Because since the Goyim, that's what the Torah says, because they were such Rishoyim. Had they not been Rishoyim, we could have let them live with us, and they would aid us. But the Ribbono Shel Olam said that it was so entrenched, the Avodah Zarah, and it was so terrible. It wasn't stam that they were not nice people, right? They were the worst tumah when it came to Gili Arayis, when it came to Avodah Zarah. It was the worst place in the world. It was the most depraved place in the world. And it affected not only the adults, it affected the children, and it affected their genes. It was something that the Ribbono Shel Olam knew, if you didn't eradicate them, it would be a spiritual pollution that would just not enable Klal Yisrael to be able to function in Eretz Yisrael properly. So the Ribbono Shel Olam said, I'm not going to get rid of them. This is your land. You're the ones who are responsible. So because they're Rishoyim, ubi'ar tohara mikirbecha, get rid of them. It's your responsibility to clean it up. It's your land. The opposite. That taught the lesson too. That's why the Ribbono Shel Olam gave it to us that way. Had the Goyim chosen not to be Rishoyim, they could have stayed in Eretz Yisrael. The only reason they couldn't stay with us in Eretz Yisrael is because that they would be a bad influence. But if they wouldn't be a bad influence, they would keep Shev Mitzvei Noach. Not only could we let them live there, you're allowed to let them live there, and you're supposed to support them. That's it. Okay, if you asked me that question 30 years ago, which you couldn't have possibly done, I wouldn't have an answer. But today, in the last maybe 15 years, 20 years, there's a group of Goyim in America, started in America, B'nai Noach, who gave up Christianity, have come to the conclusion that the Torah is emes. They don't want to be Jews. They want to keep Shev Mitznei Noach. According to the Horah, they go to Rabbonim to Ashailas, how they keep their seven mitzvahs. And they believe that the world was created for Klal Yisrael, and that they are aiding by keeping their seven mitzvahs. So there are people who really do that. They live in the South. They started in somewhere in Tennessee. The rabbi there was the son-in-law of Rabbi Bulman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. His son-in-law, somebody came to him, told him that he's come to the realization that the Torah is true. He does not want to be Jewish. And usually when goyim would come like that, we tell them, you can't, who are you going to marry? Christians won't marry you. You're not Jewish, you can't marry a Jew. You're going to be like outcast of society. But now there's a whole society of them. They marry with each other. So, what? There are, it's a big organization. There's a lot of people like that. They're called B'nai Noach. B'nai Noach organization. And they come, they have conventions. Rabbonim have written sidurim for them. That's specifically for goyim, to daven, who believe in God, who believe in Shev Mitzvah Noach. It's not a, they can't daven just what we do, it's not right for them. They don't keep Shabbos, they're Dafka Machal Shabbos, what's it called? They live according to the Shulchan Aruch. This thing, somebody was in the middle of writing a Shulchan Aruch for them, Shev Mitzvah Noach. What? The black, no, the Maisa, the Rambam says that to a certain degree, the Christians and the Muslims did our dirty work. Because we're not up to going around teaching the world Shev Mitzvah Noach, because it would affect us badly. We're not, if we'd be on that Madrega, we could influence the whole world from Eretz Yisrael, but we're not. So goyim get a close look at Jews, and some of them convert because of that, or at least keep Shev Mitzvah Noach. But it's the Christian missionaries that went, so they taught it a little bit crooked. But the Maisa people know at least as a Torah, and they know that you're not allowed to murder, and you're not allowed to steal, and basic Sheva Mitzvah they know of. They believe in a God. Okay, they also believe in his relatives or whatever, but, right? But the Maisa, the world now is filled with an understanding of what Torah is, and that there'll be a Mashiach someday or whatever. And for that reason, why God let Christianity and Islam be successful. Yeah. That's an excellent question, which I can't answer in 2 minutes. I assume, I'm not 100% sure, but my intuition would tell me that one of the questions on those on the paper is something to do with Eretz Israel, Zionism, living here, or whatever. I'm sure somebody asked one of those questions. If not, then around Yom HaAtzmaut, that's what we discuss anyway. The state of Israel, the land of Israel, living here, not living here, is there a mitzvah, not a mitzvah? And I understand. So, but that's part of the discussion, and when we get there, we will discuss it.